Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your Tuesday. And just like yesterday, I certainly hope that a big reason why you're having a great start to your day is because the Grizzlies, for another day, are ahead in the first round of a playoff series, something that many of us probably didn't expect to say even a month ago, but this is here we are, and it certainly is worth enjoying. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter and find the podcast wherever it's available. My name is Sean Coleman. I've been a credentialed media member for the Grizzlies now for over a year. You found my work over at Grizzly Bear Blues for 3 years now. I've been doing the podcast with Locked On for over a year now. For all your latest Grizzlies news, perspective, insight, anything and everything to do with the Grizzlies, when it happens, your Grizzlies every day, you've come to the right place, and that is the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I enjoy doing all of the things that I just mentioned, but at the end of the day, the biggest reason and the reason why I cherish doing this every day is the ability to talk about things that I'm passionate about, the Grizzlies, the NBA, sports in general, but also interacting with those who share the same passions that I do. So you've come to the right place if you want all the latest in everything that is the Memphis Grizzlies. And of course, that's what we're going to talk about on today's show. In the first segment, the big news of the day in regards to the Grizzlies and the Jazz is that Donovan Mitchell has returned. What does that mean for this series and the Grizzlies in particular when it comes to Donovan Mitchell? Also, in the second segment, we're going to look at some of the things that the Grizzlies need to improve on. Now that Donovan Mitchell is back, there are some loose ends that the Grizzlies really do need to tie up to make sure they're playing as best as they can now that the competition is going to become a little bit tougher. And in the third segment, Jaren Jackson Jr. and De'Anthony Melton. We know the potential of Jackson Jr. We know how big De'Anthony Melton and how impactful his play has been at times this year. One of those two need to step up, and we'll go into detail how they might during the third segment of the show. Also, we want to remind you of our title sponsor, RockAuto.com. Summers are right around the corner, so you're probably going to wind up taking a vacation somewhere. If you need car parts, RockAuto.com is the place for you. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today. As mentioned, the big news of the day is, of course, the return of Donovan Mitchell. And, you know, I'm going to be completely honest. I truly feel that, you know, the overall story with Donovan Mitchell as it occurred on Sunday, I genuinely think that it was a surprise. I think that there was some miscommunication, whatever it may be. I think there was some mishandling of stuff by the Jazz organization. Don't know enough about it, you know, for just going off what, you know, I've heard and listened, just as many of us have. You know, don't know as much as the Jazz folks do, but at the end of the day, you know, I think that it was just an unexpected and an unfortunate situation in terms of Donovan Mitchell being held out. Now, of course, as a guy covering the Grizzlies and being a Grizzlies fan, you know, I love seeing it in terms of the fact that it gave the Grizzlies a better chance to win, but it just seemed like that it was a surprise. It did throw a wrench in the plans of the Jazz for Game 1, and especially their preparation for it, and you saw it on the court. But, of course, now it seems like, you know, that had its impact, whatever perspective or whatever, you know, philosophy you have about what occurred, you know, it's in the past now because Donovan Mitchell will be back and in action in Game 2 on Wednesday. But, of course, you know, we don't necessarily know to what degree, you know, we'll see what level of player is he going to be. Is he going to be the Donovan Mitchell who has all NBA type potential, or is he going to kind of be a limited version of himself due to trying to recover from the injury? It will certainly be interesting to see. But let's put it this way. The Jazz with any form of Donovan Mitchell is better than the Jazz that we saw on Sunday. Donovan Mitchell is arguably their best player for whatever reason. If you want to say it's Rudy Gobert, no argument here. But with Donovan Mitchell now being in the equation, I think two truths exist for the Memphis Grizzlies. By winning Game 1, the chances of the Grizzlies both making this series competitive and potentially having a chance to win this series, those chances have significantly gone up. But now with Donovan Mitchell being back in the equation, even if it's a limited version of him, it still remains highly unlikely that the Grizzlies are going to win this series with how talented this Utah Jazz team is. For one reason, it's that Donovan Mitchell has been pretty successful against the Memphis Grizzlies since the start of the 2018-2019 season. Donovan Mitchell is fifth among active players in total points scored against the Grizzlies. In 9 games against Memphis, Donovan Mitchell has scored 223 points, so about 25 points per game. That includes Earlier this season in Utah, Donovan Mitchell scoring 35 points in back-to-back nights against the Grizzlies. In one game, he was the reason why the Grizzlies' huge comeback didn't work because he just kept hitting big shot after big shot to keep the Jazz ahead. The next night, he just absolutely was the best player on the court, and the Grizzlies had no answer. So one thing that stands out about Donovan Mitchell with the coming back against the Grizzlies is that for three straight years now, they basically have had no answer for him. He's averaged 25 points per game, basically, and the Grizzlies have had no answer. Maybe Dylan Brooks' defense helps out. Maybe he's a bit more limited than usual, but Donovan Mitchell has had very good success against the Grizzlies. But the other thing that stands out is that with Mitchell back, a lot of the questions that emerged from the Jazz's offensive approach, their offensive struggles in game one, they're back to being answered. That's what Donovan Mitchell does to this team. And the main thing that he does is he allows for everybody to go back. He allows for the six other main players for this Utah team to go back into the roles that they know so well. And that's what stands out against this for this Utah Jazz team, is that you probably, in terms of overall talent, you probably could name 3, 5, 6, 7 other teams that have more talent from top to bottom than this Jazz team because other teams have superstars. But in terms of the depth of quality talent that the Jazz have and the depth of quality players that are committed to the roles that they know they perform best on this team, that's what makes this Jazz team so special. And because of that, these players are now in their roles. They now know their priorities, their jobs that they need to get done, and they're used to whatever roles they have in the schemes and strategies on both offense and defense. These players are back in the roles that they have been, that they have done so well. Rudy Gobert focused on his defense. Jordan Clarkson and Joe Ingles focused on their ability to contribute off the bench. Those things matter in terms of how well this Utah Jazz team flows together and how efficient they are on both offense and defense. And so now that Donovan Mitchell is back, everybody is back in their familiar roles where they produce so well. And that is a significant benefit for the Utah Jazz. And the other big reason why Donovan Mitchell returning is huge for this Jazz team is because, of course, as we all know, Donovan Mitchell being away from the Jazz is like Ja Morant being away from the Grizzlies. That's how important he is to this team. And another big reason why it's important, he's another ball handler. He's the other primary ball handler with this Jazz team. On most nights, it's either Mike Conley or Donovan Mitchell running the offense for probably over 40 minutes a night. And as we saw on Monday night, this Jazz team was pretty lost when Jordan Clarkson or somebody else was trying to run the offense when Mike Conley was out of the game. So Donovan Mitchell being back gives this team another ball handler, a self-sufficient scorer, and the numbers show that Donovan Mitchell's impact was both there. His positive impact was there in terms of the flow of this offense when he played, and it was lost. His loss was felt when he did not play. Donovan Mitchell got injured this season on April 16th. Up until April 16th of this year, the Jazz were 14th in the league in terms of turnovers committed per game. From April 17th on, the Jazz were in the bottom five of the NBA in terms of turnovers committed per game and points off turnovers allowed per game. And that's what stood out. That's what made the key difference in game one, was the Grizzlies' ability to create such a difference in possessions, in shot attempts in the game, that even though the Grizzlies did not succeed that much on those shot attempts, they still had far and away more shot attempts than the Jazz because of the turnovers and because of the, you know, less than ideal three-point attempts that the Jazz took, that they were able to get the win because they did well in transition and they had just so many more attempts. Well, with Donovan Mitchell now in play, the offense flows better, there's less turnovers, there's more chance that the Jazz are going to consistently be able to find a high percentage shot. So for those three reasons, how well he's played against the Grizzlies, the fact he lets everybody go back to the roles that they're familiar with and are so productive at in terms of the Jazz's scheme, and overall the fact that he significantly improves the efficiency of these Jazz's offense, and the fact that his presence now being there allows for the Jazz to confidently run their half-court offense and make this a half-court game, which significantly puts the game flow in their favor, that's the reason why Donovan Mitchell's return is so important, obviously, for this Grizzlies, for this Jazz team, and why it is definitely significant in terms of impacting the Grizzlies' chances to win this series. But it was known all along that Donovan Mitchell was going to return. And with that in mind, the Grizzlies are going to have to be more consistent at taking advantage of the opportunities that they have, despite the defense playing well, John Dillon playing very good in the second half on offense. There are still a few areas where the Grizzlies could really use improvement. They're going to have to show that improvement with Donovan Mitchell being in the equation now. We'll discuss a few key areas where the Grizzlies can improve to still be able to find a way to win, even though Mitchell is back in Game 2 against the Jazz. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. Lucy lozenges and gums are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA cards to purchase Lucy now, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Lucy lozenges and gums are also FSA and HSA eligible, so you can spend pre-tax dollars on them. Locked On NBA Network listeners, go to Lucy.com and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's Lucy.com and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.com and be sure to use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Obviously, the summer is here, and so that means you probably are going to be on the go a bit more when it comes to traveling. Well, of course, before you travel, you want to make sure that your car is in working order, and if your car is something that needs repairs, I've got the place that has you covered, and that's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is an amazing source because it's very easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you should have what you need, and you're likely to find what you need regardless of the make and model or parts that you need. If you're someone that does your own repairs, you need others to do your repairs, or you do repairs for others for a living, rockauto.com is a great source. It's very cost efficient. This is a family-owned business. They've been in business for over 20 years. They know that car parts a lot of times fall outside of customers' budgets, so they want to make sure that things are as cost-friendly as possible. If you go to rockauto.com today, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. So the Memphis Grizzlies on Sunday got a huge victory against the Utah Jazz. But I do think that it is worth noting that the Grizzlies played a significantly better ball game. They played closer to their potential than the Jazz did on Sunday. And at the end of the day, it resulted in a 3-point win. Now, there were some clear areas, and we'll get into this in a moment, where the Grizzlies certainly could have had a bigger lead. You know, they played well enough to have a 15-16-point lead midway through the fourth quarter. The Jazz just were able to come back. But there were some very key statistics from that game that showed just how unlikely the way this game flowed and the outcome of some pretty important stats in this game, it's very unlikely that this type of game flow occurs again. The main thing that stands out is that the Grizzlies were able to have 19 more shot attempts on goal than the Utah Jazz were. The Grizzlies had 100 shot attempts to the Jazz's 81 shot attempts during the game. And you also have to consider that the Jazz were 12 of 47 from three. It was their second worst shooting night from three all season long. And we're talking about a team that averages nearly 17 threes a game while also shooting right at 39% on the season. So in other words, the Grizzlies have 19 more shots than the Jazz, number one. Number two, having 100 shot attempts overall in a game for the rest of the series. And also, the Jazz shooting 25% from three are missing a total of 35 threes. It's very unlikely that those numbers favor the Grizzlies as much as they did on Sunday. And for that reason, one of the areas where this Grizzlies team has to improve is shooting the three. The Jazz shot nearly 30 more threes more than the Grizzlies on Sunday night. The Grizzlies were 7 of 19 from three, while the Jazz were 12 of 47. And like I mentioned, this likely will be the Jazz's worst shooting night of the series. In other words, what it's going to have to come down to is, especially if these games become more half-court oriented, the Grizzlies are going to have to shoot from three better. And the reason why I say that is because the odds of them being able to beat the Jazz go down significantly if they hit 10 or less threes. For instance, when it comes to the Grizzlies shooting 10 or less threes in a game under Taylor Jenkins, just to give an example of what the Grizzlies' success is when they make 10 or less threes under Taylor Jenkins since the beginning of last year. In 66 games in which the Grizzlies have made 10 or less threes since Taylor Jenkins took over as head coach, they are 25 and 41. The Grizzlies have a record of 25 and 41 when they make 10 or less threes in the game under Taylor Jenkins. When the Jazz allow 10 or less threes to their opponent in the game this season, they are 28 and 7. So if the Grizzlies' record is 25 and 41 when they make 10 or less threes, and the Jazz are 28 and 7 when they allow 10 or less threes, you see how unlikely it is that the Grizzlies are going to be able to win another game this series if they do not shoot the three ball better, especially when it's going to become more important to find good looks from three since there's going to be less possessions. That's the one thing that stands out. That's something that we talked about going into this series, especially with Donovan Mitchell being back. The Grizzlies were going to have to shoot the ball well from three in multiple contests to get wins. They were able to get lucky in the first game. They earned the victory, but they were able to do it in a way that typically does not lead to success for the Grizzlies or for opponents of the Jazz. And for that reason, the Grizzlies have got to get better at shooting the three. The other thing that stands out is that the Grizzlies only had 18 assists on Sunday night. We've talked about that this Grizzlies team over the past 2 years has been a top five team in the league when it comes to passing, but they only had 18 assists on Sunday night. When the Grizzlies have 20 or less assists under Taylor Jenkins since he took over as head coach, they are 4-10. When they have 25 or less assists overall, they're 17-37. With this game likely becoming more of a half-court-oriented game, the Grizzlies' passing is going to have to be as crisp and effective as possible. That means that they're likely going to need to get more than 25 assists every time out in order to have a chance to win. If they wind up getting, under or right at 20 assists, the likelihood of this Grizzlies team being able to win significantly declines. Because not only is their record bad when they get 20 or less assists, but this year, Jazz are 22-3 when they allow 20 or less assists in a game. So once again, you've got the double whammy of the Grizzlies not having much success and the Jazz having a lot of success when their opponents get 20 or less assists. The Grizzlies are going to have to be a lot better at creating their own shots in a half-court setting, especially from three, in order to win multiple games going forward with Donovan Mitchell now in the equation. But of course, the final thing is that obviously the Grizzlies did find success getting out in transition, and cleaning the glass and other places suggest this. The Jazz were the much more effective team in half-court setups. The Grizzlies were far more effective in transition setups. But the Grizzlies still were only 15 of 27 at the rim. A lot of that had to do with Rudy Gobert. But they made just slightly over 50% of their shots at the rim. They also missed quite a bit of open or easy shots from that first into the second quarter. From about 4 minutes left in the first quarter to around, I want to say, it was a 9-minute stretch between the end of the first and the start of the second quarter, the Grizzlies only scored 4 points. And they went from being like 5 or 6 up to 14 down. When they were able to come back, because in the final 6 minutes of the second quarter, they went on a 27-11 run. I don't know if that's going to occur again this series, where the Grizzlies can survive going a 9-minute stretch by only scoring 4 points to turning right around and scoring 27 points over a 6-minute stretch. That type of polarizing difference between offensive effectiveness and, you know, less, you know, offensive struggle, that type of polarization, I don't think that you're going to find a lot of success doing that against the Jazz. So the Grizzlies are going to have to make the easy shots when they're available, especially when it comes through transition. So hitting threes, using their ability to pass, since the game's going to become more of a half-court setup more than likely, with Donovan Mitchell now in the equation, and taking advantage of hitting the high-percentage looks close to the basket when they can, those are three critical areas that the Grizzlies are going to have to get significantly better at going forward if the odds are going to be in their favor to win games. But of course, another development that would be huge for this Grizzlies team is maybe not directly matching Donovan Mitchell being back in the equation for the Jazz, is the fact that this Grizzlies team could use one or both of two of their more talented players in Jaren Jackson Jr. and De'Anthony Melton becoming a factor in this series. Coming up, I'm going to talk about, yes, both have struggled, but if at least one of Jaren Jackson Jr. or De'Anthony Melton could step up, it could be a huge development for this Grizzlies team. We'll look at how when we come back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. The NBA and NHL playoffs are here, and if you're a fan of wagering and betting on sports, there could not be a more exciting time to have multiple areas of the sports world in which you can enjoy wagering and betting. If that's something you enjoy doing, there's one place that has you covered, and that's BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. That's what we all want, right? If we're betting and wagering on sports, we want to make it fast and simple, fast and easy, so we can just simply put in what we want to put in, move on, and see what happens. Baseball season is in full swing as well, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info on all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit BetOnline.ag today. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when you head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, the Milwaukee Bucks left nothing to question on Monday night. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with wonderful host Peter Bukowski and the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Without a doubt, certainly the return of Donovan Mitchell for the Utah Jazz is a significant development, and not necessarily a positive one for the Memphis Grizzlies. But the thing is that we knew this was expected. It was expected that Donovan Mitchell was going to be back for game two. And obviously with him now in the fold, the Jazz are going to become a harder opponent to beat. They're going to become that number one seed that earned the right to have the best record in the NBA and thus the number one seed in the West. And we discussed in the second segment how the Grizzlies are going to have to become more productive shooting the three, more productive passing the basketball, and are going to have to become more consistent at hitting the easy shots that they find. One other thing that would be a positive development for this Grizzlies team, and not necessarily as a direct response to Donovan Mitchell being back, but the Memphis Grizzlies do have two players with plenty of potential to be highly productive as two-way players in Jaren Jackson Jr. and De'Anthony Melton. We've seen it all season long from De'Anthony Melton, or until the calendar turned to May, basically, in which he could make such momentum-shifting plays, creating turnovers, getting blocks, getting steals, being self-sufficient as a catch-and-shoot or spot-up shooter, getting into the lane with good, balanced ball-handling skills to create his own shot. We saw that most of the time that he was on the court this year until he's really hit a snag over the past few weeks. With Jaren Jackson Jr., as we mentioned, I don't think it was ever logical to expect for Jaren Jackson Jr. to be back at what he was in the bubble before his injury, because it takes a while for a player his size to come back from that type of injury. It's not that he's unhealthy. It's just there's plenty of rust that has to be shaken off. You know, he's got to get back into a groove, into a playing groove, in order to find the full capacity to put his talents on display. But the reason why I highlight these two players as being significant, as it being a significant development for one of the two, at least, to come along and be productive moving forward, is because, as I mentioned, as this becomes more of a half-court game, it's less likely the Grizzlies are going to produce as many turnovers as they did in Game 1. But if you want to talk about two players that can produce turnovers and have shown indications that they can do it, you have to go no further than Jaren Jackson Jr. and De'Anthony Melton. We all can remember so many different moments in this season in which De'Anthony Melton was able to create a turnover at a big moment that led to an easy basket by him or someone else when the Grizzlies were in a half-court setup on defense. Just this past week, Jaren Jackson Jr. has shown multiple instances as to his potential of a momentum-shifting play source on defense. He stole the ball one-on-one with Steph Curry last Sunday when the Grizzlies lost to the Warriors. Just on Sunday night, he stole the ball from Rudy Gobert that led to a fast break opportunity for the Grizzlies. And in the fourth quarter, he made a key block, went down, got the pass from Tyus Jones, and hit a trailing three. It's those type of plays that the Grizzlies are probably going to have at least 3 to 5 times in each game going forward. And De'Anthony Melton and Jaren Jackson Jr. are our best source to make that happen. And so I know that it certainly is not necessarily the biggest positive in the world. Though the Grizzlies are having the success that they are, the fact that they're doing it without Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr., and De'Anthony Melton, who were viewed as the second, third, and fourth most logical piece to this young core going forward, the fact that the Grizzlies are doing it without any significant contributions from any of those three is both remarkable as to how well other players have developed, but also a bit disappointing with how each of those players have recently declined. You don't want to see that type of regression in their play, but it's here. And for that reason, Taylor Jenkins has had to make some tough decisions in going with other players over them because he needed to go with sources that he could trust to be productive. But it's time for Jaren Jackson Jr. or De'Anthony Melton to regain that trust. Because let's be honest, besides Jonas Valanciunas, Xavier Tillman, over the past week, he had a great stretch in that Warriors game, but he's looked out of place. He's looked like a rookie, much more than Desmond Bane has looked like when he's been on the court. The Grizzlies really don't have a true trustworthy, you know, big that they could play and give Jonas some rest in this series. They're worried about Jackson Jr.'s fouling as well as his lack of shooting right now that could put him in place to be a risk. They're worried about Xavier Tillman's overall ability to defend when it comes to as efficient as an offense as Utah is. And let's be honest, Tillman is not necessarily his self-sufficient scorer himself, so he's probably not going to contribute on the offensive end as much as you usually would. And of course, Brandon Clark is not playing. So the Jaren Jackson Jr. at least becoming, you know, semi-productive at what he can do on the court, it gives the Grizzlies a secondary big that they can rely on in half-court setups to allow for them maybe to rest, you know, Jonas at times, but also more than anything, it allows for Jaren to be a threat both inside and outside. A great development would be his three certainly starting to fall. It's hard to say that's going to be something you can trust, but I do think that he's going to have plenty of opportunities to do it, because with how quickly he can get his shot off, I don't think the Jazz are going to react in time. I think with where his shot is right now, they're fine with letting him take that outside shot. And if, like Jaw has done over the past few games, if Jaren can hit that shot from the outside, that really opens up the offense. And then when it comes to De'Anthony Melton, yes, the play of Desmond Bane, even without shooting the three, has certainly been a big development. Grayson Allen's ability to hit the three has played a big role over the past two games. But neither one of them have the two-way potential of De'Anthony Melton. And if DeAnthony Melton, you know, maybe is going to be guarding a Jordan Clarkson, or maybe he's going to be guarding a Mike Conley when he's in the game, whatever the setup may be, the Grizzlies really need DeAnthony Melton to step up, not only as a way to create extra possessions, but as a source to deepen their cupboard of sources that can hit the three. Because as we mentioned, after that series, after those three games in March against the Jazz, when the Grizzlies got going right shooting the three, when they had arguably the best stretch of three-point production that they have ever had in franchise history in terms of a few-week stretch of offensive play, it was because, though DeAnthony Melton did miss several games in that instance, he did show, though, in the first few games of April, and in his first few games back, he showed what he could do. We saw it a few weeks ago against the Raptors when he single-handedly won the game on a Saturday night because he made five threes in a fourth quarter. That's the type of flashes that this Grizzlies team needs for DeAnthony Melton to have as deep of a source of three-point production as they can have. When this Grizzlies team is shooting the three the best, it's when they're getting 10 to 15 combined shots from Desmond Bain, DeAnthony Melton, and Grayson Allen. They're going to need that type of production from that trio, I feel, multiple times in order to win the number of games that they need to, or play at the level that they need to win the amount of games they need to win this series. So a huge development for this Grizzlies team would be the emergence of Jaren Jackson Jr. and or DeAnthony Melton. Not only because of what they can do with shooters, not only because of the potential that they could show on offense, but more than anything, I think those two players are the Grizzlies' best source of producing turnovers in a half-court defensive setup. We've seen it over the past week with Jaren Jackson Jr., seen it all year long when he's played, or at least up to May, and DeAnthony Melton. If either one of those two can regain their form that makes them so highly effective, that'll be a huge development for this Grizzlies team. Of course, if you could add this duo to what Kyle Anderson did in Game 1, that makes it even better for the Grizzlies because now they have a trio of players that could really step up and take advantage of how the Jazz attack. Kyle Anderson setting the record for the most steals by a Grizzlies player in playoff history. I think the potential to create turnovers consistently may favor Jaren Jackson and DeAnthony Melton a bit more than they do Anderson, but he's right there with them, and with how well he performed in Game 1, it certainly would be great for him to have another source that can support him, and the Grizzlies could have multiple options that can get them out on the fast break and take possessions away from the Jazz, especially in a half-court setting, which they're going to need to with Donovan Mitchell returning. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure, as always, to have joined you for this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Make sure you follow the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, myself at StatsSAC. Listen, subscribe, review. Let us know what you think of the show. We do know that there has been a bit of a hiccup when it comes to the show being available on Apple in terms of it downloading. So we ask that you go to many other places that offer the show, the Odyssey app, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. Wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, that's where we will be. And we can't thank you so much for your support. If you've been a long-time listener, it's a pleasure to be able to bring you all the latest from the Grizzlies as they make their playoff run. And they've gotten off to a great start. And if you're a new listener, welcome. Hope that you stay a while. We'll give you every reason to if you're passionate about the Grizzlies, because there's no place that gives you as much information as frequently as the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, my name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure being with you as always, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.